Good morning. It's good to see you here today and have you with us as we gather for worship this day. Special welcome to those who may be visiting with us, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. Also, a special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who is our guest organist today. We've already heard a little bit from her, and we'll be enjoying more music throughout the service. I'm glad that she's able to be here today. On the back page of the bulletin, you'll see the calendar for this week, and I'm not going to read it to you, but do want to point out a couple things that Tuesday is our monthly worship service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center, and Friday is our feeding ministry, and we will be doing our regular menu, and we'll need cakes donated for that. So, and there are other announcements printed there on the back page that I'm just going to call your attention to. In addition, on the insert, it is a two-side insert, the hymn on one side, but also on the reverse side is World Mission Offering, and that's what we are promoting today as our World Mission Offering, and we'll be, one of the videos we're watching will be about these missionaries today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 550 for our responsive call to worship. Let us read responsibly from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Freely you have received, freely give. Those words of challenge and comfort are for us this day, and our opening hymn is Jesus Saves, number 694. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, we have heard the joyful and wonderful news that Jesus saves. And now we hear you saying to each one of us, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. It is time to move on. We hear your words, yet are kept immobile by a wilderness mentality. Renew our minds and keep them set on that which you command. Help us to step out boldly, accepting the mission you've given us, relying not on our own strength, but in the company of others. May your Spirit strengthen and encourage us. We ask this in the one who saves, Jesus the Christ. And we now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. At this time, we will be having our mission moment, and we'll be learning about two more sets of missionaries who work for us and for American Baptists as world mission for our world mission offering.
The countries of Haiti and Cuba share a convoluted history. At the beginning of the 19th century, during the final years of the Haitian Revolution, a wave of French settlers fled Haiti with their Haitian slaves to Cuba. They settled mostly in the east, especially Guantanamo, starting sugarcane and coffee plantations.
Later, Haitians continued to come to Cuba to work as braceros, hand workers, cutting sugarcane. The living and working conditions were not much better than slavery. In 1959, when Castro came to power, discrimination against Haitians became less severe. Today, Haitian Creole is the second most spoken language in Cuba. There are 300,000 Haitian immigrants, many descendants of the original slaves.
I am Kathleen Pierre.
I am Vital Pierre.
After 16 years in Nicaragua, we're invited by our partners serving as missionaries in the Dominican Republic and Cuba. Our ministry focus is new church planting and community development. We start each church based on a need within the community: education, sports, music, daycares, and build the church around that need. We mentor pastors and leaders to minister holistically. We are now praying God how He will use us in the Caribbean.
As missionaries, we have learned to live cross-culturally among Creole, French, and Spanish-speaking people. We are excited to see how God will lead us to partner with Cuban, Haitian, and Dominicans so that we may bless each other.
We invite you to join us in this effort of empowering leaders for God's kingdom on earth as in heaven.
Hi, I'm Madeline Flores Lopez, missionary to the Dominican Republic and Cuba. The main focus of my ministry is to build bridges between cultures, provide educational opportunities for pastors and lays in the different churches from Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, the USA, and Cuba.
I discovered that the best relations happen when partners can spend time together, when people can share each other's food, sing each other's songs, laugh at each other's jokes, and listen to each other's stories. Then they begin to form lasting friendships. The sister church model of mission, in which two congregations from different regions of the world partner with each other for ministry, is a paradigm modeled by international ministries. Sister church relationships begin through friendship and prayers. Out of these relationships, projects, ideas are discussed. Expectations develop from a shared understanding between everyone involved. Sister church relationships allow churches to feel part of the global body of Christ. In Cuba, I work directly with the Eastern Cuban Baptist Convention and the churches of Higuaní District in Granma. Vacation Bible schools and pastoral care training are two of the most requested local needs. For the past 8 years, together with the Puerto Rico Baptist churches, I have helped organize an annual 3-day pastorals conference in Higuaní. More than 250 pastors, lay leaders, seminary students, we invite you to participate so that the future generations of the churches can grow and learn from one another. May our prayer be on earth as it is in heaven.
Just seen two more ways that our mission dollars are being used to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, cross-culturally. Some history there between Haiti and Cuba, and that is followed up, I think, if you read the insert today with Ketley and Vital, Pierre, that follows up with that as well. So I encourage you to pray for our missionaries, and also to give financially to the World Mission Offering this October. At this time, Paul, I don't know if there are any students, but students may go to their classes with Mr. Patry, and the choir may go up to the choir loft. We have an opportunity now in this part of our service to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And we want to keep Irene Hoffman in prayer. Irene's in the choir. But Irene's been suffering with back pain for several months now, and does have surgery scheduled for the end of the month. So we want to keep Irene in prayer as she's preparing for that. Also, we want to keep May Upperman in prayer as May is at home, and just want to continue to keep her in prayer. We also want to remember those who were impacted by the hurricane and storm over the last 10 days, 2 weeks. And also the storm that hit the northwestern part of the United States the end of the week. And just, you know, keep those folks in prayer today. Do you have any requests for prayer that you'd like to share with the church family? Barbara? Wonderful. So Barbara and David celebrated their 48th wedding anniversary this past Tuesday. And that the last medical test that David had, that the level has improved. So those are both very good celebrations, and we celebrate with the Tolstrup family. Anyone else have a prayer request today? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming to this house of worship to spend these moments together in prayer and conversation with you. And Lord, we must confess at times we come with long laundry lists of requests And sometimes we don't spend enough time just waiting for you to respond. And Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for our sometimes impatience and impatientness, our willingness to just unload on you and then just move on. But Lord, we thank you for the moments we have to be in silence, to meditate, to read your word, and to just reflect on what is going on in our lives and how you are working in our lives. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you are not a remote God, a God that does not care, a God that pulls puppet strings and we are your puppets, that you are a loving parent for us, and that you give us freedom to make decisions on our own. And Lord, we pray that we may have the wisdom to make the right decisions. We pray that your Spirit would guide us in all of our decision-making, both at home, in our communities, at the church, and also for our nation as well. And Lord, in these coming weeks, we think about decision-making, and we know that election time is coming in November, and the rhetoric has been ramped up so much, Lord, and we just sense so much negativity in these campaigns. And Lord, we just pray that we may have the wisdom to sort out all that's being said and just trying to find what is best for us and our nation for the coming years. Lord, many of us don't know how to vote. Many of us have doubts and questions. And some of us, Lord, have anger as well. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would help us in this time of decision making for our country, that we may make the wisest decisions for us and for the future. Lord, we lift up those today who are ill and pray for your healing touch to be upon them and healing according to your will for them. We also pray for those who are in mourning today and lift them up and pray for your Spirit of comfort and peace to be upon them. We remember especially those who have been affected by storms in recent days and weeks, and those who have had damage to their homes and businesses. Lord, we pray for those who have been the first responders and those who will be coming afterwards in order to help to rebuild and resettle people. We also remember our missionaries on the field, Lord. We pray especially for those who are serving overseas this month during our World Mission Offering promotion. Lord, we pray that though they often work in different cultures, speaking different languages, they are sharing the same message that we celebrate here today, that Jesus saves, that Jesus loves us so much. And Lord, we pray that that message may be continually shared by our missionaries and by us here at home. And Lord, we offer all of these things to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, the one who saves, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have done many things together in worship today. We have prayed together. We have sung together. We've watched videos together. We've read scripture together. And now we have an opportunity to share our tithes and our gifts, saying thank you to God for all of his blessings upon us. And at this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering.
The time for praising is here. The time for praising is here.
pray together. Lord, there are so many ways to praise you through our voices by speaking and singing. We also praise you through these tithes and gifts, and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. May be seated. Michael Huddy will be reading the scripture today.
This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke. We have two sections, starting with Luke 10, the first 12 verses. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. After he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it.
Thank you, Michael. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard from your written word, that Jesus, even here on earth, while he was here alive walking among us, was in the business of sending people out to minister in his name, to do things for him, to help him in his ministry. Lord, we pray this day that through your written word and through its application that we may come to a greater understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Christ. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open this morning to receive a word from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever broken an arm, a hand, or even a finger? If so, then you know how difficult it suddenly becomes to even do the simplest of tasks. Have you ever tried to tie your shoe, open a jar, or fold a shirt with only one hand? Things we usually perform with utter ease, using two hands, become agonizingly slow and take all of our concentration when only one hand is available. Even then, the results are often sloppy and embarrassing. Some tasks just take two. Two hands, two people, two wills, two hearts. One simply is not enough to get the job done. Perhaps some of you remember the song made famous by Three Dog Night entitled One, with the opening line, one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Throughout the Gospels, we read that Jesus sent his followers out not alone, but in pairs. Think about it for a moment. Matthew and Mark record that Jesus called his original 12 disciples and sent them out two by two to preach, teach, and to heal. And as he was preparing for his last meal with his disciples, Jesus sent two of them into the city to prepare the upper room. In the first text that we read this morning, Jesus appoints 70 other followers and sent them out ahead of him in pairs. In today's second passage, Jesus sends his disciples for a young colt that he will ride into Jerusalem. He sends out a team of two to get the job done. One probably could have gone, but Jesus sent two. Just as when Jesus had sent his disciples out to preach, teach, and heal, he continued to keep his disciples operating as teams. Consider the missions that Jesus sent his followers on. Sometimes I'm sure it was exciting to anticipate the new towns that they would be going to. But it also was probably scary at times. What if they were rejected? Jesus even warned them of that. Do you think the two disciples chosen to get the colt looked forward to this mission with the same sort of anticipation that they had enjoyed when venturing into Galilee? I don't think so. Instead, the miraculous healings and exorcisms, they were now being appointed horse thieves for Jesus. A young colt was a valuable commodity in those days. As a pack animal, it even offered the means of a livelihood as a mode of transportation. It offered a certain amount of status and afforded some income for its owner. Sashaying into the big city and simply helping themselves to some stranger's property hardly sounded like a mission for the sake of the Messiah. But Jesus makes this impossible-sounding mission possible by anticipating every question, every quibble, every quandary these disciples might face. First, they were sent as a team of two so that they could lend one another strength and companionship along the way. As team members, they could take turns feeling confident or scared, leading or following, doubting or believing. As two, they also presented a more plausible picture to those who would question them about taking the colt. One man skulking up to untie an animal that was not his own was surely a thief. But two men engaged in conversation while confidently untying the colt looked more like a mission. And when the bystanders asked the two disciples exactly what they were doing, as Jesus had foretold they would, the disciples are not only prepared with the answer that Jesus gave them, they can corroborate each other's story. A strange story sounds less odd when two witnesses testify to its truth. Some of you may remember the 1960s television program Mission Impossible. Probably the most memorable parts were the metronomic theme music at the beginning of each episode, in which a tape-recorded voice made the assignment for the impossible mission force. Five feature films have been made, with another planned for release in 2018, that are based on that program. But something was very different between the television program and the films, namely that the films featured a big star, superhero named Ethan Hunt, portrayed by Tom Cruise. The strength of the old television program was that every story, every mission, was a team effort. No one was the runaway star of the show. The complex schemes they cooked up to fulfill their impossible missions were utterly dependent on the performance of every single team member. Some of the team members had more glamorous roles than others, but that at the end of a successful mission, it was the team that had pulled it off. The final take in each show was always of all the team members coming back together and acknowledging that it was only because of team effort that the impossible had been made possible. Jesus has called all of his followers to join his impossible mission force and to be prepared to be offered some pretty crazy sounding assignments. Your mission and mine, should we choose to accept it, will lead us into some strange situations. We may not find ourselves being horse thieves for Jesus, but chances are we will find ourselves doing things and saying things we would never have dreamed possible. Being on Christ's impossible mission force may involve glamour duty, like teaching and preaching and healing, or it may involve garbage duty, perhaps ministry of recycling or minister of maintenance. And what's more, some of our teammates we may never have met. Our team, the team that Jesus has called us to be on, includes not only those of us sitting here today, but also those who are ministering down the street, across the country, and around the world. Remember how Jesus sent his disciples out two by two? We sang the following words a few moments ago. It may not be on a mountain's height or over a stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. Our international missionaries need us on their teams. They have answered the call of Christ to move to the mission field. It's our job as their teammates to support them with our prayers, messages of encouragement, and financial gifts. One way of doing this is through the World Mission Offering. Our international missionaries cannot serve on the mission field without team players like us. Now, teamwork is not a new concept. Jesus employed it for his disciples, and we have witnessed it used throughout the generations. On July 20th, 1969, the world watched as astronaut Neil Armstrong became the first man to set foot on the moon. Those old enough to recall that event remember the moment when he said, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." What we probably don't remember is how many people were involved in getting astronaut Armstrong to the moon. In all, there were 218,000 people working behind the scenes to make that historic moment possible. Many of us are being called to be behind-the-scenes team players. Are we ready to be part of the greatest team effort ever put forth to the world? Can we stay true to our mission and accomplish all that God intends? If we are, we have two things that we need to do. Remember that we are part of a team. We're not alone in this. And secondly, in times of doubt and despair, we need to recite the reassuring mantra with which Jesus sends us out on our mission. The Lord needs me to do this. May we each go to love and serve our Lord and our neighbors in whatever ways he calls and challenges us. And our seemingly impossible missions, even if they be on the global scale, can become possible. Let's pray together. Lord, we have heard your call to discipleship. We also hear the call and the challenge to go, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to preach and teach and heal. And Lord, many of us here today may be saying, but Lord, that's not for me. But Lord, throughout the Gospels, we read again and again that you did not send anyone out as a lone ranger. You sent out teams. And remind us that, Lord, that we're not alone in ministry. That you've called us together and you send us out together to minister together. And Lord, we pray that as we join the team of our international missionaries, that they may sense that they are not alone in this either. There are people here in the States that are praying for them, that communicate with them, showing them support and encouragement, and also financially support their work so that they can stay on the mission field, sharing the good news of Christ with others. Lord, we pray that you will encourage us and strengthen us as we seek to join your team, the team of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask all of this. Amen. Our closing hymn is printed on the insert in the bulletin this morning on the reverse side of the World Mission Offering insert, and we all are one in mission. And we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4 only. Our mission, if we choose to accept it, is to join the team and go forth and tell others about Jesus Christ through our words and our actions. Go in the strength which Christ our Lord supplies and serve him as Lord and King forever. Amen.